Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Society for Neo-Latin Studies podcast. My name is Jason Harris, and in this episode, I'm going to introduce you to a poem by the trailblazing Latin writer Isotta Nogarola, one of the first women to achieve widespread acclaim in Italian humanist circles in the 15th century. Born in 1418, Isotta was the scion of a well-heeled patrician family from Verona, but her father died when she was young, and so it was her mother who procured for her the prestigious humanistic education that allowed her to become a prominent Latin writer by the end of her teenage years. Choosing neither to marry nor to enter into religious orders, Isotta devoted herself to classical studies early on in her career, laying the groundwork for later writings that would address religious themes. In this respect, following a trajectory not dissimilar to that of her contemporary Lorenzo Valla, or subsequent writers like Jacopo Sannazzaro. Despite facing occasional attacks from misogynistic critics, Isotta gained much admiration for her eloquent and erudite prose style. Indeed, such was her renown that in the latter years of her life, she was on several occasions invited to deliver public orations before church and state dignitaries. She even seems to have delivered an oration advocating crusade in the presence of Pope Pius II at the Congress of Mantua in 1459. But nowadays, she is perhaps best known for having deployed her intellectual and rhetorical skills to contest misogynistic interpretations of the story of Adam and Eve, in a debate with the Venetian nobleman Ludovico Foscarini, who was so impressed with his interlocutor that he remained a friend and correspondent until her premature death in 1466, when she was only 48 years old. Although known mostly as a prose writer, Isotta is also the author of an innovative poem about the origins of Lake Vacaldo on her family's estate at Casteldazzano, just outside Verona. The poem develops the story of the nymph Chiane, a side character in Book 5 of Ovid's Metamorphoses, where she is seen weeping so intensely for the loss of Persephone to the underworld that she is transformed into a lake. In Isotta's retelling of the tale, Chiane is divested of the husband Ovid had ascribed to her, becoming instead a chaste, solitary figure who recoils in horror and grief at the forced marriage of her female companion Persephone. Lest the parallel should escape the reader's attention, Isotta ends the poem by invoking the nymph Chiane's support for women of the Nogarola family who seek to devote themselves to the Muses. This is a nod to the fact that Isotta was not the only talented female Latinist in her family, her aunt Angela and her sister Ginevra being similarly accomplished. Isotta thus depicts her rural estate as a kind of poetic refuge, a peculiarly female Helicon or Parnassus, hinting at a world of female experience rarely represented in Latin writings of this period, a world withdrawn from patriarchal demands, but never free of threats and constraints. It is a shame that more poems by Isotta's hand do not survive. This one does so fortuitously, having been printed with substantial interpolations by an opportunistic descendant who adapted the framework of Isotta's poem in order to ingratiate himself with a potential patron. Purged of these accretions, the poem amounts to 66 lines of carefully structured elegiacs. I've chosen to read the ending, in which Isotta asks the nymph Chiane to protect her house and family, the word domus covering both meanings, so that they may thrive in future, not suffering the seasonal turmoil that resulted from the rape of Persephone, but abundant with the poetic riches of the nymph's unceasing gifts. The passage is lofty in tone, deploying familiar rhetorical patterns along with alliteration and internal rhyme to enhance the effect of poetic lexicon. Meanwhile, Taking advantage of the regularity in her alternating pentameter lines, Isotta subtly modulates the rhythms of the hexameters, including a well-observed hypermetric verse in which the enclitic of nepo teisque is elided with incolume in the following line. In summary, this is a skillfully composed poem by an important author writing about interesting themes, and as such, it deserves to be better known. Nympha, decus siculi quondam formosa pacini, nunc cineat nostrae gloria magna domus. Floriat o utinam per saecula longa superstes, credita tutelae gens nogarola tuae. Aemula sit vitae nogarola sanguine creta, atque pudicitiae femina quaeque tuae. Hanc oro tutare domum natosque nepotes quin columa hoc serues, candida nympha genus. Sic varios numquam flores mala frigora laedant, ne virtuos nimius torreat aestus agros. Sic tibi sint liquidi fontes, vernantia circum prata nec anguinea sordeat unda lue. Quin ea quot rutilas pactolus fundit arenas, vincat quatque tagi iactat iberus opes. Beautiful nymph, once the honour of Capo Passero, now the great glory of this lake and our house, long may the line of Nogarolas flourish, entrusted to your care, surviving throughout the long ages. May every woman of Nogarolan blood born emulate your life, emulate your female honour. This I pray, guard this house and all born into it. Keep the family safe, luminous nymph. So may bitter frost not harm your variegated flowers, nor your fields be scorched by torrid summer heat. May your font be crystal clear, lush the surrounding meadows, your water free from snake's venom. Indeed, let it surpass the golden sands of Pactolus and all the wealth that Iberian Tagus boasts. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Society for Neo-Latin Studies podcast. For more information on the Society and its activities, you can visit our website, hosted by Warwick University, at warwick.ac.uk/SNLS. Thanks for listening, and until next time, Waleatis, Floriatis, Wigeatis.